And in the red corner, wearing only leopard skin body stockings and matching Wellingtons, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And without any more messing about, we're going on straight on to the first game, which is the one called Sound Charades. One team has to make noises, and the other team must guess what they mean. The audience are let into the secret by way of a blackboard here in the studio, and you at home are told by a mystery voice. And in the studio here, you can help audience by applauding when they're getting warmer. And in view of our experience with the audience on the recent show, the people you're supposed to applaud are the people who are guessing and not the people who are doing the charade. Okay, Willie and Tim, you're going to start off by doing your charade. And the audience at home is being told by the mystery voice, audience in the studio on our blackboard here, what they're going to do.
The Great Dictator.
It's three words and it is a film.
All at once. Cue me. Mr. Tater?
Call me Dick.
You're great. It's The Great Dictator.
No?
Well, that puts you so far ahead, Graham, that you've actually won this week's round. We've got to carry on. So, Barry and Graham, you're going to do a charade now. Tim and Willie, you've got to guess it. The audience being told at home and also in the studio here.
The Royal Hunt of the Sun.
A play and film.
A play and a film.
A play and a film. Six words.
So you have time to pop out for a spot of lunch or something.
Right, to your family.
Start a family.
Okay, we're all ready for you.
We're going to do it all at once.
Right.
I say, Phil, where is he?
I don't know. Most probably out in the stables.
No, I was just mucking out now, and I didn't see him.
I don't think he's round about somewhere. Charles, where are you? You know, round about here somewhere.
Would it be anything to do with the royal family, Bernard Charles?
The prince and the showgirl, please.
That's six.
Requests will be taken later. Orders. Queen and country, queen, king, prince, and I'm getting nowhere here.
No. Very
Charlie, cool. Anything to do with the royal... Now, we said royal family, so is it something to do with...
Oh, stop it, hum.
You've had that clap already.
You've got as far as the royal family. That's as bad as high as you
six
get.
Six words, isn't it? That's what...
Yeah.
Yes.
The royal family go west. No, Willie, you're full of ideas.
Yes, not really the royal family.
Is the royal family actually in the title? Is it something like the royal family?
Well, they're not in the title, no.
Helpful, please.
They're not in the title. There's a good
point. But anybody else in the world might be.
Yes. So
yeah, well, that's narrowing
we'll narrow it down for you. Yes.
Two horses appear in the title.
They were horse.
The four horses of the...
Yes, don't be misled by that, because it doesn't.
There were two high-ranking members of the royal family looking for...
King and Queen.
Stop it, Graham.
No. I think they better tell
someday
you what
someday my prince will come.
We've run out of time.
But that's rather vile.
Shaffer.
I think they're cheating because they're not...
I think you better tell them.
The Royal Hunt of the Sun.
Oh.
Right.
Very good, wasn't it?
I wish I hadn't said that. To cover your confusion, Tim and Willie, you can do another charade now.
We started with an...
Here's what they're going to do for you listening at home.
The High and the Mighty.
And will you tell Barry and Graham whether it's a book or a film or a long-playing record?
It's a book, a film, and a shop.
And a...
Shop.
a quick commercial. For it's all in one, and it's... Did we have said how many words there are?
It's one, two, three, four, five. Some of them are relatively unimportant. Hither, Lord Chamberlain, crouch and kiss me foot.
Certainly, my liege. Oh, my God.
Clap your lip to the royal sock. Toe by toe.
Where are these?
Oh, dear.
Barry and Graham, start guessing.
The lotus eaters meet the odor eaters.
No.
It was a ripple, then?
It wasn't.
I got
it was
one
irrelevant.
For the horse, and that was nothing at all to do with it.
I was Lord Kitchener's foot fetishist. There was a royal person, yes?
Yes.
And a royal foot.
And a shop.
And a chamberlain.
And some overacting from Tim.
It needn't necessarily be a royal person.
No.
No.
A shop is germane to the...
No, I'd forget about the shop, too. In fact, I'd really forget about the film and the book.
In fact, good night. Also, it was a bit of a...
We got that.
The
yes, you suggested that. Yes.
Like high. Fish when it's gone up.
High society.
Oh. No. A ripple.
High feet.
Anxiety. No.
The high and the mighty.
Excellent.
Right, Barry and Graham, that earns you the chance to catch them up now with another charade from you.
Right.
Here it is for those of you listening at home.
The Caretaker.
Can you tell us if this is a book or a film or what?
Play in a film. Mm.
And play in a film.
Two words.
Two.
Okay, do your charade.
Morning, Reg.
Morning.
You taking care of all this lot,
are
you?
Oh, I'm taking care of it all right, yes.
Oh, but you're always the man they go to when they want something taken
if it's
care
a bit,
of.
Oh,
caretaker.
Yes, please take it. Yes. I'm the man to do it. It's the one thing I do
was
take,
I right?
And that's care. What?
Well, be seeing you tomorrow, Reg.
Right.
Take care.
Sorry, there was an interruption from...
It's better without an interval, that one, actually.
Okay, now...
It's better than the flag. Without
groping your way
towards
the
right
solution.
Pinteresque dialogue, so we assume it's the caretaker.
Oh! Fell right into our trap there. Yes.
Tim Brooke-Taylor gets an extra 10 marks for bringing that round to an end. This is where I introduce a round that's played at the end of the programme in order to give the teams time to think of silly names for people arriving at the Aristocrat's Ball.
Aristocrat's
Ball. Oh, thank you.
Right. Now, the next game is called Connection Quiz, and this one's like Mastermind, except that it's played with a more uncomfortable chair. I'm going to give each contestant a set of objects or people, and he has to tell me what the connection is between them. And incidentally, this is quite serious. These are all taken from a new book called The Book of Lists. And so they're completely genuine. We're going to start now with you, Tim Brooke-Taylor. What is the connection between Jack the Ripper, Gerald Ford, Mandy Rice Davis, and Leonardo da Vinci?
They're all murderers except Jack the Ripper. No.
Very near.
All of them were interviewed to death by David Frost. No. It's Leonardo da Vinci. The only thing I know about Leonardo da Vinci is he can make people smile. But he also, he was left-handed. Does that have anything to do with it?
Tim Brooke-Taylor, absolutely brilliant. The answer is that they were all left-handed. Sure. Oh.
Very good.
Can you come back next week?
Suddenly.
Willie, yes, here we are. What object connects the murder of Agamemnon, the Bonaparte's argument, Rostand's writing, Franklin's pastime, and Carol's orgy?
If I start with the Bonaparte's argument, which was whether or not the strange item they found in a little silver box, a fossilized part of Napoleon Bonaparte, was in fact genuine, and it was sold at Christie's for some enormous sum, which for a small part of Bonaparte is ridiculous. And whether Rostand wrote with it, and whether it was Franklin's pastime, and whether it was involved in Carol's orgy, I can't see.
Sounds very likely.
How it could have been involved in the murder of Agamemnon, as you couldn't mug an old woman to death with it. So we can cut that out. That's not there. That's not it.
I know this one, I think.
Do you? What? What?
Well, I think they're all previously rejected titles for Carry On Up the Khyber.
Agamemnon was murdered in the bath, but whether Bonaparte argued in the bath, or Rostand wrote in the bath, or Franklin's pastime took place in the bath, and Carol's orgy definitely did, because the other...
Well, believe it or not...
Franklin was in the bath, yes. That's
yes.
Willie,
baths, I
you're absolutely
baths.
Right.
Good Lord. The collecting...
The really? Connecting link is a bath. They're all the subject of famous events that happened in a bath.
Tim can tell you another.
Yes, I can. And another.
Graham Garden.
But Merle Oberon may be listening.
What's the connection between Richard II, Jumbo, Abert Perron, and Trigger?
Richard II, Jumbo, Abert Perron, and Trigger. They are all roles turned down by Julie Covington.
Or, she did Jumbo, didn't she?
Or, I know what two of them have in common, which is Abert Perron and Trigger, so presumably the others do as well. They're
all written by Roy Rogers. But it had never come from my lips. No.
You don't know how close you are to the answer.
I'll say they're all stuffed.
Exactly right. They are all stuffed.
What stuff?
Really? So this is getting very stuffed. Exciting. Yeah. It would be more exciting if I'd kept any marks. But
well,
Barry,
here comes the anticlimax. I won't know mine at all, I'm sure. Yes.
Barry, what's the connection between Beau Brummell, George II, Abraham Lincoln, and Benito Mussolini?
Well, I'm not one to gossip.
You're not one to gossip.
Not what I've heard.
Tiller the Hun was not one to kill. I mean,
I can't understand the unaccountable omission of George Formby from this list, Humph. I mean, I think they all hung around lampposts.
Think about it.
Strung up by the partisans. No, is it gout?
No, it's not.
Were some of them secretly president of the USA?
I don't know whether to give you that, because it's so close. They were all famous snorers.
Who's to know? Who's to know?
It's hearsay evidence.
We'd like to thank Mrs. Mussolini for the research on that particular round. And we go on now.
They can't have been that famous.
You can't
very
be
famous. I'd heard of it.
You can't be famous as a snorer, unless you're Joan Collins. I don't...
I don't propose to let that round develop into a philosophical discussion, so we go on to the next round, which is called Call My Bluff. And this is a game familiar to all of you from television, but it's played here with a very slight difference. The teams are going to give me four different definitions of a word, and I have to guess which one is correct. We're going to have two rounds of this. Now, teams, which of you is going to start with the word?
Well, that's up to you, Hump.
Graham, would you start with the word?
The word is bucket. And definition of bucket is a medieval musical instrument made of both wood and brass, something like a cross between a serpent and a lyre. It was a wind and a string instrument, so it could be blown and plucked at the same time, which is some trick if you can do it. And the
oh, he's doing it.
It's not a very well-known or indeed very popular instrument. There is a reference to it in the Bible, in the Psalms. Magnify him upon the bucket. And its greatest protagonist was the Archbishop Thomas a Bucket. All I have to say on the subject.
Tim, bucket. would you give me a definition?
I didn't know we had to give short talks. bucket. It's a metal or plastic vessel with a handle across the top, which is used for carrying liquids or solids.
Oh, you're never going to imagine it.
Sorry, I don't feel very...
Barry Cryer?
Well, of course, Robert. It's a bird, isn't it? It's a bird, Robert. Humphrey, sorry.
It was
considered long extinct in the Galapagos. That's the islands. That's the correct pronunciation, by the way.
Would you breathe into this bag, please?
It was discovered in about 1813, or probably a little later, about half past, by the man after whom it was named.
Oh.
Thomas Dustpan. It was a minute bird. It weighed about 3¼ ounces. And laid an egg that weighed about 9½ pounds. And had a very distinctive cry. Struth! It's a bird. A bird. Yes.
Welcome back.
Over to Leslie Ann. Down.
Will you ask them?
Get up, Leslie Ann. This is radio.
You speak for yourself.
Willie Ruston, you're dead.
Well, it's an item of
clothing. It's a sort of piece of clothing. It's a bit of clothing worn in the Regency period in the old Brighton Pavilion with Beau Brummel, Beau Nash, Beau Jangles, all those people. When, due to the total lack of sanitation, there was nothing at all. I mean, Harpick was a Marx brother. It was worn by the rakes under the arm. It was a door, not unlike a cat door, which they could open and fan near a window as they quadrilled past it, thus reducing the aroma. It was called a bucket. A bucket, it was actually pronounced.
As worn by
there's the definitions yes. Now, teams, I have to guess which one is right.
It's an impersonation.
From the chair.
Right. Now then, Louis Armstrong. Right. A musical instrument. There's an old tune called The Bucket's Got a Hole in It, which would have meant that it wouldn't have played properly. I can't possibly see that that is correct. Tim's, a plastic vessel with a handle.
Or metal.
Or metal. No, I mean... I mean, it's too far-fetched.
Too far-fetched.
It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work, so... That leaves us the either the extinct bird or the cat door under the arms. I'm going to go for Willie Ruston's. Willie.
Right.
Is it true or
bluff? Right, it is, yes. As worn under the arm of a Regency buck. A bucket.
Well done. Yes. Well,
that's good. Impressed.
12 points to me, and that puts me ahead. And another 2 points for impersonation. Yes, right. Now then, we have a game called the Blues. For this round, each team will give the other the topic for a blues, which they must then improvise, accompanied by Colin Sell at the piano. And I'm going to introduce a new facet to this game this week, because I'm going to impose a penalty of 40 marks for anyone who uses the words up, morning, woke, or this. You didn't know that, did you? Okay. Barry and Graham, will you give Tim and Willie their subject?
Yes.
We'd like to hear their Tory Party Blues. Tory Party Blues.
Well, morning. Found something heavy hanging on my brow. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, it's the ethnic feel.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Keep in touch.
It was Mrs. Thatcher. Get off, I cried, you daft old cow.
Oh, you've got away with words.
Away with several.
But one thing you've got to say about Maggie Thatcher.
She was only a grocer's daughter, but she taught Sir Geoffrey how.
Right, Jimmy, will you give Barry and Graham a subject, please, for their blues?
The Flying Saucer Blues.
Thank you.
I aroused myself earlier today, and something happened that was quite unique.
I saw two flies playing football in a saucer, and I heard one of them speak. Oh, yeah, that is.
He said, take it easy, Charlie.
Remember, we're playing in the cup next week.
We thought you said fly in saucer blues.
Charlie.
That was so brilliant on both sides that I wouldn't dream of awarding any marks either way. We go on now to the old favourite game that I know people at home like to join in on this one, and this is Mornington Crescent. And teams, the rules that apply today are that any points scored in the outer square are transferable. Any points scored in the outer square are transferable.
That's impossible.
What, to the other team or to your own team?
Simply transferable. You don't know the game, man. Barry, you start.
North Circular Road.
Willie?
Gee-hee! The Reigate Bypass.
Henley's Corner.
I can transfer, so North Circular Road.
Yes. Oh, great. A1.
Wasn't that great.
A2.
Oh, it's transferred. Graham,
you can, Fortune Green Road.
Platts Lane.
Oh. You concede, Barry?
No, that's cheating, huh?
No. In a transfer round, he can do that.
He can concede.
He can do that. That's
in a transfer round, you can concede.
Thank you, Hum. Thank you. Kiddapur Avenue. Kiddapur Avenue.
I haven't got an A to Z, Andy.
I think you've had it, actually, haven't you?
Nope. Baden Powell Terrace. AW3.
Covent Garden.
Southampton Row.
Mornington Crescent.
Yes. Ah!
First thank you.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's transferred earlier, twice.
Yes, yeah. He did, because you revoked. Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Hum.
I think it was my A2 that scratched us.
And with Barry winning that one, we go on to this next round, which is our old favourite tag wrestling. In this round, I'm going to give each team the payoff, the story, and I shall then start one of you off telling a story to fit your punchline. And then when I feel like it, I shall press the buzzer, like that, and a member from the opposing team will have to take up the story, but make it fit his punchline. And Tim and Willie, your punchline is this. 15 Eskimo belly dancers left the submarine at Clapham.
Left the submarine at Clapham.
At Clapham.
Yep.
Barry and Graham, your punchline is, this isn't raspberry flan, Doctor. It's Ina Sprocket.
Understandable mistake.
And as you've had longest to think about it, Tim and Willie, I'll get Barry and Graham to start.
You start.
I didn't like the look of my wife, but then I never did much, so I decided to take her to the doctor. We sat in the waiting room for some time, but sure enough, the buzzer went.
Why? Still this was just another of the reasons why Nell was fed up with life in known Alaska. Had she not danced on some of the finest bellies in Europe, she decided to go there. And the best way was the submarine lying off the Alaskan coast.
The first mate asked the captain, vis-a-vis our crew of Eskimo belly dancers, are we going to clap them? To which he replied, only if they're very, very good. Understandably, a patrol on the lookout for submarine jokes depth charged the submarine, and that was the end of that, and it was never heard of again in this program.
However, in memory of it, a film was made in which the submarine set off for Clapham, and 15 Eskimo belly dancers left the submarine at Clapham.
Yes.
Why not?
Under the
wire.
Barry and Graham. Oh, dear. Barry and Graham, you have the option of carrying on your own towards your punchline. But I think
you'd
rather...
Can we make them carry on their own?
You'd really rather not, wouldn't you? Mm. Here we come to the moment when I take a back seat and the teams give their announcements for the late arrivals at the Aristocrats Ball. Who's going to open the bidding? All right.
The dance is tomorrow. Mr. and Mrs. Tillity and their daughter Jean Tillity. Oh, on her own in the corner.
Mr. and Mrs. Stocracy and their son Harry.
Mr. and Mrs. Brooke Taylor and their son Tim. I can dream, can't I? A rather posh couple. Mr. and Mrs. Nation Robes and their daughter Cora Nation Robes.
Ah, oh, here's the Duke of Rumier Ofton.
Lord and Lady, your lucky stars, and their son, Count, your lucky stars.
Please will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Spearidge and their son, who's a bit of a Burke, Spearidge. And Pat Rishon. And Oligarchy.
And the Lord is Mayor Shepherd. He sounds quite genuine. I like him. Like I knew his mother.
Will you welcome, please?
No.
All right.
There's Lord Elpis and Baron Landscape.
Mr. and Mrs. Wiss and their son Mark. The Ness couple with their daughter Marsha. Marquess and Martinez.
I'm sorry.
Wish I was dead.
At the piano from the west coast of Africa, the Earl of Ghana.
Lord and Lady Far Out, and their tiny tot, the right horn baby.
Missy Esty and her daughter Madge Esty.
Oh.
Majesty.
That's a play on words.
Mr. and Mrs. Mr. and Mrs. Blishment and their daughter Esther Blishment. Oh, oh dear, oh dear.
Mr. and Mrs. Zlist and their daughter Honor.
Oh, yeah. How did humour creep in here?
This point is my duty to give you.
Oh, there's Dorothy Squires. Oh, sorry. It's as well not to mention it again.
I'm going to give you the score now, and that is Graham Garden leads with 1 point over Willie Rushton. Tim Brooke Taylor's next, and quite a long way behind is Barry Cryer. That's all from all of us this week, so we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton were being given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Geoffrey Perkins.